As you can see from the song, or as you saw from the song, we are in Psalm 100, and of course now from the PowerPoint that's behind me. Welcome to the worship service this morning. It's good to see all you folks and our visitors. It's good to have you guys here, and of course all of our regular members. We're in between these two Sundays, where this final Sunday we're putting Thanksgiving in the middle of all of that, and this is a bookend. We're looking at being thankful still. We're not going to give up on that one. We're going to continue to be thankful. Sometimes we see too much Christmas ahead of Thanksgiving, and I don't mind that so much. I love the lights, but at the same time, we want to remind people that, you know, Thanksgiving is an important time, too. It's a special thing. And I saw on social media Andy Griffith saying, and the caption down below said, you can now put up your Christmas tree, you know, set it up, because Thanksgiving is over, and so it's now time to move on to Christmas, which reminds me of a quote Andy Rooney, way back in 1980, I don't remember it from that point, but on Face the Nation, said this, and I think he's right. Thanksgiving is not getting a much attention these days. There is more emphasis on Christmas. Now, it's not bad to emphasize Christmas if we think about Christmas, as we all commonly do, as a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, but then let's don't be too short on giving credence to and giving a pausing to give a little bit of credit to Thanksgiving. And so that's why last week we had a memory verse that maybe you remember. I was surprised. We're driving on our way up to Arlington this week for Thanksgiving, and Shirley reminded me of our memory verse, and as she said it, I thought, oh yeah, you know, I remembered it, but I mean, I didn't realize that she did, and it was our memory verse. Anybody remember what it said? Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I remember that one. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. That's Psalm 107 and verse 1. Let's make that our memory verse again for this week, but I want to add one. It's in Psalm 100. I don't know which one that you might want to choose, because we've got five verses here. And let's just read Psalm 100. There it is behind you. Take a look at that, where the psalmist writes, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, of those five verses, if we can only pick one, you know, we could make the whole psalm a memory verse, if you will. But it's kind of long. I think we can get the gist of it without having to totally memorize it. But what verse would you pick out of that one, if you take a look at it? Verse 1's pretty good, shouting for joy. 2's good, worship the Lord. 3's good, it says know that the Lord is God. Oh, that's a good, important thing. Verse 5, enter His gates with thanksgiving, courts with praise. And then finally, the explanation given here in Psalm 100, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I like that last one. Second best, because, of course, it gives us the reason for the psalm and the reason for shouting for joy and the reason for knowing what we do know about the Lord, that He made us. He's our Creator, and we're His people. we are the sheep of his pasture. He's the shepherd. And then, of course, entering his gates. Which would you pick? Second to the last for me was 5. I would pick number 4. What do you think about number 4 being our memory verse? Enter his gates, as the song goes, with thanksgiving in your heart. Remember that? And his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's what I mean by our Sundays both being bookcases to Thanksgiving, which is what we enjoyed this week. Hopefully we all got to be with family and friends and maybe watched a little football. I got to see a little snippet of the Longhorns Friday. What a game. And, of course, the Cowboy game. But mainly the family and the friends. We had 39 in our family gathering up in Cedar Hill, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so Thanksgiving is in that verse. If we're going to make this a Thanksgiving bookend message, which I would like to do, then number 4, enter verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Remember that one. And practice on that this week. Maybe write it on your mirror with lipstick, you know. By the way, that lipstick my wife wrote on the mirror several years ago has been washed multiple times, the mirror has, believe me, has. And yet, faintly, when you shower, you know, and you get a little bit of fogging on the window, you could still read that message. So maybe you ought not write stuff with lipstick on the mirror, because once you wash it off, it's still there. Now, it won't ever go away. Anyway, this one would be a good one if you were to write it somewhere, maybe on your mirror, but perhaps on just something, and put it on your refrigerator door. This is a very simple psalm, 5 verses, gets right to the point, doesn't drag through, doesn't give any kind of thing we don't quite understand. It's really clear, very simple, if you will, and things in the Word of God should be simple, and many times there's some complications, but it's great to have one that just speaks directly to us. And yet it's really profound. In fact, if you were to divide it up, which is what I'd like to do, you can find several different things that speak about one particular aspect of this psalm in verses 1 through 5. Again, verse 5 is the reason for the season. Can we say that about Thanksgiving? The reason for the season is because God is good. That's why we ought to give thanks to God. His love endures forever. Hey, I looked that up this week, wondering what the Hebrew word was. Just wondering, you understand, just wondering what the word endure in Hebrew was, you know. And I found out in my concordance, it said N-I-H off to the side of that particular text. And there were multiple texts. Psalm 107 again has his love endures forever. And it's another psalm that says his love endures forever multiple times. In fact, almost every verse. And the word endures, N-I-H. Anybody know what that means? Not in Hebrew. You ever notice sometimes when a song is put up that's not in our book, you see the N-I-B, not in book, N-I-H. And so really what it is in Hebrew is it just simply says his love forever. And I love that because you don't have to use the word endures. Endures implies that something maybe does not endure. And to equate God's love with things that may not endure by simply using the word endure, perhaps anyway, the Hebrew mind was saying, let's just simply say his love forever. I like that. you know, kind of touches your heart, doesn't it? God's love forever. And, of course, God is eternal. And so as long as we know God, which will be for eternity, His love will be there. God's going to always be a loving God. And I love that. So that could be a good one right there. But anyway, verse 4, we said would be it. So here are the four thoughts for today. Fairly briefly, you know, too late, you say, because it's already 12 after. So, you know, but four thoughts anyway. The first one is just simply, hey, listen, put your emotions into it. Again, look at verses 1 and 2. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Don't you love that? Look at the joy and the gladness in there. You know, it isn't any trouble just to S-M-I-L-E, right? The old song. And here's a text telling us, when you come before the Lord, be joyful about it. Carry some gladness with you, you know. Be thankful. Has gladness in it. It has joy in it. Sometimes I'm talking general, not us, and maybe us to some extent, but just people, churches, can be a little too formal. I read this story about a family that moved to Indiana, and they were looking for a church that they liked, and they thought they found one, but the problem was it was a little on the formal side, you know, kind of ritual, too much ritual in it, but they liked the people, and so they continued. One Sunday, the minister in his sermon was preaching, and all of a sudden, he broke into song. And, I mean, what? All of a sudden, here he is singing, and soon the whole congregation joined him, and they looked at each other, this couple that had moved in, and they felt pretty good about it, you know, raised eyebrows, wow, this is really something else. But then they looked at the church bulletin, and the bulletin had the order of worship. And in the order of worship during this particular part of the sermon, it said, spontaneous singing. Now tell me, how can you organize and arrange something and plan it, and yet it's spontaneous? Well, it can't be. But sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with us planning out our worship services, stuff like that, but maybe we need a little bit of that spontaneity, you know, praise the Lord we talked about, and, you know, amen, the kind of stuff. And here we have this text telling us that we have to shout for joy. Now, we're not trying to get anyone to be Pentecostal in here, but shout, come before Him with joyful songs and sing, and there ought to be some, I won't say rocking and rolling, but there ought to be some really getting on with worship at times when we sing these songs. You know, when we sing that song, Come Into His Gates with Thanksgiving in Your Heart, that's one of those kind of songs that gets you going, you know. And, of course, that's from this text, and that was our first song. Thanks for that. When you led that, I thought, hey, man, that's so good. It just fits. And this last one did as well, although I'd never heard that one before. I got a little note that my son wrote when he was pretty young, and out in Auburn where we lived, and I preached out there. And he said this. He was describing worship. I think I must have asked him to kind of write down what you think. He says, I go to a building with a large group of dressed up people. We sing a lot, then pray. A nicely dressed man, I don't know if he's talking about me, you know, but a nicely dressed man comes to the stage. We always call this the podium area. It's not a stage. It can be a stage sometimes, I guess. Comes to the stage and talks. We pray again, and people start to leave. I thought, that kind of sums up sometimes our worship service. We come, stuff happens, and when the stuff happens is over, we go home, you know, and that's kind of worship. But when I read this psalm again, I mean, shout for joy to the Lord, and all the earth do that. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. You know, put your heart, the scripture's saying, into it. And I think we do. I hope we do. I hope we have the attitude, though, And sometimes it's not easy. I know, to come and to look forward to it and be lifted up before you even come. Psalm 122 in verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I mean, just looking forward, you know, to worship. I think worship services ought to be that way, that we look forward to it. Man, I'm looking forward to it. And you know, sometimes even as the preacher, my wife would say, don't say too much, Shirley, just, you know, she would probably nod in agreement. Sometimes, you know, you're not looking forward as much. I mean, not that you're not wanting, you're just not looking forward to it. And so here's this psalmist saying, I was glad. You want to go to the house of the Lord? Oh, man, let's do it. You know, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go worship God. Okay, let's go. You know, we're going to go in your car. Let's get in the car and let's go. You know, let's go worship the Lord. And thank God that you come and that you're a part of that. Our psalm talks about joy and gladness. And then, of course, joy again, and shouting and worshiping and singing. Worship, he says. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord. Come before him with joyful songs. So sing to the Lord in your worship. That's what I like about the song service. It's different from the other stuff we do because it's not so much a head kind of thing as much as it is a heart thing. And we put our hearts into worship. We should have, should we not, some emotions whenever we come into the Lord's church to worship. Well, here's the second thought. The first one is, of course, put your emotions into it. Put your emotions in motion. But number two, keep your mind engaged as well. That's verse 3. Notice the word no. Right there at the very beginning, if you have an NIV, know, be aware, be knowledgeable about this, that He is God. I think we know that. Maybe be reminded, you know, remind yourself. Think, here I am, and I'm here to worship God. I'm here to worship God. And it gives me a chill to think, I'm here to worship God. Where two or more of you are together, God says, here I am. And here He is. And so we've come together, and our awareness needs to be that God's among us. He's our creator. It is He who made us. He's our creator. I mean, I'm coming into worship, and I'm excited about it. I'm glad that it's a time to come because I get to see God in a special spiritual sense. And you understand, He's always present. But in this way, together in worship, we are reminded of God. And thank God the songs remind us of that. I love some of the older songs because they tell the old story better than a lot of the newer songs. The newer songs kind of repeat themselves a lot. I'm not knocking them. Some of them are good. They really are. And I love them and I sing them. I love the one we started out with. That's one of those songs. Come into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. And you could really put your heart into it. But then again, the awesomeness. Lord, the Lord, no. Remind yourself that the Lord is God. We're here to worship the one who made us. He is our creator. He made us. That's who we're here to talk about. That's here who we're to sing about. That's who we're here to remind in the Lord's Supper. All of the things that have to do with God. And isn't that awesome? Someone said when we sing praises to God, which is our first thought, we're not just expressing our feelings or emotions. We are declaring the truth about who God is and what He has done. We are proclaiming His goodness, His mercy, His love, and His faithfulness. That's found in verse 5, by the way, of our text. We're acknowledging His sovereignty and His lordship over all creation. In doing so, we are drawn into the radiant brilliance of His glory. I mean, I like that. It's telling us that it's okay to think, because to thank God is to think about God. You know that, don't you, that thank and think. Thank came from the word think. And you thank God because you think and you realize what He's done for us. Charles Spurgeon said, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. I just like the quote just by itself, but the idea that we are thankful to God for the things that He has done for us, but it's the greatest virtue, he says, and the parent of all the others. Because unless we're grateful to God and we think what God has done and we thank Him for it, then all the other things kind of fall apart. We have to have that gratitude before God as His people. And here our psalm is calling us to know that He is God. That's the second one. Here's the third one. Hey, bring yourself to church. Bring yourself to church. I'm going to say that again. Bring yourself to church. And I'm saying it to a lot of invisible people here that ought to bring themselves to church, but sometimes to us too. I get it. I told Shirley several times whenever I finally retire from preaching, I'm going to do like other church people. I'm going to skip church every once in a while. You know, and I probably will. And she says, no, you won't, you know, but maybe I will, you know, maybe I will. No, I don't think I will. Bring yourself to church. Look at that verse 4. Enter. Notice the verbs here. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and parenthetically, enter His courts with praise. You're going to have to enter. You've got to come where the assembly is, when people assemble. That's why I bring yourself to church. Come before Him. Now, I know we can all do it by ourselves when we pray, when we think of God, all during the week. But it makes you wonder, you know, why, by the way, do we do the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Why do we do that? Not just because legally we understand from the Scriptures that they met on the Lord's Day and did it, and so therefore, well, let's do it, you know, let's do it. That's not bad, it's a good thing. But let's really understand why we do it. And it's to remember the body of Christ as you presented to us today, and the blood of Christ, forgiveness of sins, Christ becoming like us and dwelling among us, and then being with us so that He could be sacrificed for us. And so we need to know that every week. And it helps us start our week out. You know, Lord's Day, Sunday, is the first day of the week. And that way we get a good start for the rest of the week. The first day is a day where we're called to remember Jesus and what He's done for every week. And it's because God knows we're pretty forgetful people. And so it's a good thing to come, you know, and partake of the Lord's Supper every week. But let's take that a little bit further and expand it just long enough to say, well, that's what all of worship is about. 1 Corinthians 14 kind of gives us some things to put into worship and stuff. But it clearly implies that the church has an assembly and it comes together to worship. Well, why do we do that every week? Same reason for the Lord's Supper. God knows that we need to start the week kind of walking on our tiptoes, almost floating in air because we've been to worship. And during the week, things will happen to us that might start kind of bringing us down, but we've got the vapors from that Lord's Day that gets us to the weekend. It's finally over. And then all of a sudden, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let's go to church again. Why not? It's another Lord's Day. Let's go ahead and go and let's assemble. That's what this text is saying. Let's assemble. Let's enter into His gates and His courts with praise. Of course, that's metaphoric, but he really is talking about the church assembly. We should come together. The word worship, just as thank came from think, worship comes from worth. You knew that. And when you worship, you're expressing the worth of God. And if you think about it in the assembly sense, why we ought to come to church, why we ought to bring ourselves to church, is because God is worthy of our worship. And we can come and we can worship God. The passage we all know really well, Hebrews 10, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Let's really hold on to it without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke. Well, we do a lot of that sometimes wrongly, you know. But he adds on, to provoke one another unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You're not getting any younger, he says at the end. And so let's bring yourself to worship. Bring yourself to church and make that such a habit that you don't think of doing anything else on the Lord's day. You don't take a job that takes you away from the Lord's day. Oh, I can't work on Sunday because I'll miss both services. I can't do that. Well, I'm sorry, but we're offering you $150,000 a year to take this job. Whew. Oh, never mind. I'll just skip church. Man, don't ever think of doing that. The Lord's day is intended for us to come together so that we can be inspired, we can express our love to God and our worship and our fellowship with one another. Our psalm here wants us to come and to enter. And our thanksgiving to God, that's part of it, is coming to what God has prepared for us. And that is our assembly. And so bring yourself to church. I'm talking to the choir. But I know sometimes, especially after all of this COVID, I forget what it was for a minute there, what a mess it's made of a lot of churches. How many people took the opportunity to check out of worshiping God? Oh, we're watching at home on TV. B-O-L. B-A-L-B-O-L-B-O-L-O-N-E-Y. That's not really true for most of them. It's just a lot of baloney. It's a good opportunity to step out of that rigorous, onerous, tiresome, weekly, over and over again assembling. Oh, God, save me from that. And God says, that's actually what saves you. That's what keeps you close to me. That's what inspires you and builds you up every week. Don't just watch me on TV. Unless, of course, I know we have folks, and I don't mean anybody whose health keeps them from coming, but everybody else, there is no substitute for assembling. Can I get an amen from that one? There is no substitute. And thank God, we got some special people here who drive a long way to get here. And thank you for doing that. In fact, we moved our service to 2, so some of those folks don't have to stay here the whole afternoon to come to church Sunday night. We can have that happen, and they can still be a part of that, and others as well. But that's number 3, and here's the last one, number 4, and I need about 60 more seconds is all I have left. That's not enough time, but I will take it, and we'll just use that in a little bit more. Number 4 is know the reason for giving thanks, and that's that 5th verse. And notice the word for, that's, in other words, because is another way to look at that. So do these things. Shout for joy. Worship with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know He's God and He's our Creator. Enter His gates. Come on, assemble, for crying out loud. Assemble, because the Lord is good and His love forever. His love endures forever. His love forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God's worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. And that's what that scripture is saying. So last week our memory verse was, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Today, and hopefully you'll work on that this week, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. That's what we're here for as God's people. Let's close with a word of prayer. And after this prayer, we want to invite you to come. And so after the prayer, please stand and we'll sing a song. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we are so thankful. You are the God that You are. You're our Creator and we're Your sheep and You're our Shepherd. And You've given us this time to come and to worship You. And we know, Lord, throughout the week we worship You, but in a special sense, we worship as Your church family all gathered together. Be with us now and bless us, Father, and watch over us as we start a new week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.